Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're logging in from. My name is Glenn Mulkey. I am the host of For Love of the Game Summits podcast and now our live stream series. I'm super excited because we have the ability to share it on three different platforms going live. And if you are viewing, we do encourage you to add comments and or ask questions so I can prompt and ask them of our special guests. And today I'm going to be chatting with Owen McBride, who is the president and founder of Private Coaching Company. He's also a member of the SFU varsity soccer team and currently working on his degree, bachelor's degree in health science. I joked with him the first time we connected, when do you sleep because of all this stuff on his plate? He's also coached a few boys and girls teams in recent years. I was a former player with the Vancouver Whitecaps football club. So, Owen, I'm really looking forward to our chat. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn. I've been excited to get on here, so looking forward to it.
So the first question I've asked everybody, like I've been doing these interviews now for about 3 years, and just kind of give us some insight. Where did you grow up, and what did you play in your youth as a kid?
Yeah, so I've born and raised in North Vancouver here in BC, and I mean, I played as many sports as I could, especially in the early ages. I think my parents wanted to expose me to as much as possible and let me choose what I liked. So, I mean, hockey, tried it, wasn't for me. I'm a soccer guy. So I've always liked ball sports. So soccer, a little bit of flag football, tackle football, basketball. But soccer and baseball were actually my two main sports until I was about 12, 13. And then I was, you know, had to choose one and went with soccer. So ultimately that's kind of where I went.
So you actually, the benefit of sampling a whole bunch of different sports to build the athleticism. So I'm just a precursor because I know where you are now, but developing the physical literacy, how important it is for kids early on to sample as many sports as possible? Like what were the benefits for you?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's that plays a huge part of where I am today and the success that I had in my athletic career. I think part of the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing today is to encourage that, because I was lucky that my parents, you know, allowed me to sample and put me in the position to learn new skills and not just focus on one sport. But, you know, as I progressed through the different levels and different sports, you know, there was tons of benefits. You know, one of them was that I was confident with my body and whatever I was doing. So whatever sport I picked up, I had that athletic base that would allow me to, you know, it didn't mean I was going to be amazing at that sport, but it meant that I would find success in some way. And ultimately that allowed me to continue to love them because I don't think I need to explain it to you. And Glenn, I'm sure you've had lots of conversations with people, but it's not always fun to play a sport if you're not too great at it or you're not finding success. So that definitely helped.
Yeah, it kind of sets up the next question I was going to ask later. One of the quotes I've shared, and it was one of our former interns, she put together a little quote and she shared it on a Facebook page probably 2 years ago. And it literally went viral. And I've been saying this for years. Kids play sports because they're fun. They quit when they're not. It's not rocket science. Like I really think it's a really simple concept. So I know that one of the things for private coaching is you want to bring the fun back to sports. But what is your definition? Like from playing early on and then all the way to a high level, what was fun for you as a kid?
Yeah. And I think it's when I'm addressing that question, the most important thing to realize is that fun comes in different ways for different people. You know, I was, you know, a quote unquote elite athlete, from a pretty young age. I was playing at a high level and continuing to excel. For me at that young age, fun was, yes, it was great. I got to play with my friends, but for me, I loved that competitiveness. I loved going out and competing. That was what I found fun. And I loved winning. Winning was fun. And that's not to be said that that's for everybody. And so, you know, the kind of the main reason, you know, that I'm doing what I'm doing today. And part of that is that I want there to be an opportunity for kids that, you know, for a kid in everything. So for somebody that just wants to play sports for the reason of being with their friends, that's great. Then there's an opportunity there. If you're playing because you want to continue to progress and get better, that's great. That's your definition of fun. We want to be there for you too. So it's not just one continuum. It's, you know, it's a continuum. It's a sliding scale of what kids find fun. But at the end of the day, there needs to be opportunities for each one of those reasons.
Yeah, and a lot of people think when you're promoting the fun concept that it lacks competition.
Yeah.
And for me, like you, I loved to compete, and there's nothing better than winning. It's difficult losing, but the winning at all costs, you know, Matt Young, who I know you're doing some work with, the Cost of Winning documentary put together, and a lot of people piped in about that whole shift going back a decade, maybe a little before that, where the whole youth sports segment kind of went there.
Yeah.
Winning at all costs in lieu of recognizing what it really is all about, you know, kids enjoying the game, et cetera, et cetera. So it's so refreshing to see that organizations are starting to thrive because they're bringing that back to the kids, which is kind of where you're going. Let's go back. Let's then circle to 12, 13. You said you had to make a choice between baseball and soccer. Why soccer over baseball?
You know, at the time, it was because I was better at soccer. I enjoyed soccer a lot. To be honest, I loved both of those sports. And if I had had, you know, if I could do it over again, I would have, instead of going into the highest level for one, I would have played at a little bit lower for both and allowed myself to play them both until I was 16, 17. But it came down to I was excelling a little bit more in soccer. But looking back at it now, I actually think I would have gone further in baseball and the success, which is, it's always a little bit ironic to look back at it now, but and it's, you know, we've talked about it on the summit, the previous one that I was on is, your kids are being forced to choose at a earlier and earlier age. And, you know, before it would have been, you know, we've had that conversation with Matt, he was 17, 18, 19 before he had to choose a sport, or he played multiple sports in university, but now it's very different. Organizations demand a lot more time out of you and more, you know, you're training 5-6 days a week with lots of these organizations. There's just no time to go and play another thing. So yeah, that's kind of it for me, but I wish I had been able to play them both.
So your hand was forced basically by the organizations. Was it by chance? Were your parents supportive of that when it happened, or was it kind of a necessary evil for you to go down that path?
You know what? I don't have enough good things to say about my parents in terms of how they supported me through the process and whether it meant that I was going down the elite pathway or, you know, when I left the Whitecaps program because I wanted to do something else, I had that support there. It was one of those things where I just looked at it and at the time that felt like the right decision. I don't per se regret it, but I think that I could have had a very different experience if I had stayed in both of them. But I hit a kind of a fork in the road, and it was this or that. And that's just kind of how it went.
Yeah, that's a little later than what we're seeing even now. Like, it's ironic, as young as you are, now even younger kids are being forced, their hands are being forced, which I'm totally against, 6, 7, 8 years old. You got to choose this sport, and this is where you're gonna, and obviously that's the big argument, the specialization versus multi-sport. But you're just one of, you know, many, many people I've talked to. I've talked to Olympians. I've talked to really high-level athletes, people that were elite all the way up the pipeline. Every single person that I've talked to that reached the highest level were like me and a lot of my other counterparts, prior generation. We played a whole bunch of different sports until our teens. Like, I was actually still playing 2 sports collegiately.
Yeah.
Playing junior football and collegiate rugby, you know, in my 20s. And that's today, that's unheard of.
Like, that's not even, it's basically not feasible, to be honest, because of how much each sport would demand out of you today. It's, you wouldn't have it, there's not enough time in a day.
Yeah. But the irony is, and I haven't seen the most recent NFL stats, but I know for the last 5 years, first round draft picks from the NFL close to either just at or just above 90% multi-sport athletes until they finish high school.
Yeah.
And then some of them even played multi-sport. Like, if you think now, a lot of the football players back and what have you, they were multi-sport all the way through the pipeline, even going into college.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. And that's probably what's leading to your growth and your organization, many others like yours, that are thriving because parents are going, we want a different choice. So maybe tell us a little bit more about how that kind of came to fruition. You decided you're going to, you know, leave the Whitecaps program.
Yeah.
You go to SFU, you go in varsity soccer, you're going to pursue a degree, and somehow out of the blue, you said, okay, I'm going to start this company. And when do you actually find time to do it all?
Yeah, no, well, The time is a fun topic. Not a whole lot of it. And but to be honest, I've always been somebody that's enjoyed being busy. I like a schedule and I like working towards something. So this is something that I'm very much passionate about. And for me, it really doesn't feel like work because at the end of the day, when I go and watch our sessions and I see our kids smiling and having fun, that's all the validation I need. And so I've been super fortunate in that, you know, this is something that I've been able to pursue. The, you know, kind of the reason that I first started this was, we talk about multi-sport versus single sport and the time commitments that are asked out of athletes nowadays. A big part of that is longevity and something that, you know, I'm sure you're more than familiar with and maybe a lot of the viewers here are or aren't, but when you're playing one sport 6-7 days a week for multiple years, in my case, 12, 13 years, you start to burn out in ways that you never really expected, both mentally, you know, maybe you're not looking forward to going to practice as much as you used to. Doesn't mean you don't like it, but you can start to see that there's a gradual little wear down there. Physically, I was in and out of physio once a week because I was playing one sport, working one muscle group, and that plays a huge toll on you both mentally and physically when you're always injured. And then the last bit was in terms of being in certain environments. You know, you get to the Whitecaps program, you're at the, you know, the highest level, you know, arguably the highest level you can be at here in Canada. And there's a lot of pressure on you. There's, you know, it's, you're no longer playing for fun. It's a business at that point. Everybody's there to get to the next level. And I'm the first to say that I'm not against elite sports. There's a place for that, for everybody, for kids that are genuinely there to, you know, make it to the next level and be the best that they can be. There's nothing wrong with an elite sport environment. I just think it doesn't need to start so early, which is part of the reason why I started Private Coaching Co. was, you know, I was looking around in our locker room in the Whitecaps program and other programs, and just more and more kids were dropping out. And these were really talented kids. These were kids that, you know, were some of the best in our age group across Canada, across BC. And they were just quitting, done, hanging up their boots and done with sports. And I was looking at that and that didn't seem right to me. Especially, you know, it's just wasted talent at that point. These kids had so much potential and were great players. So I kind of looked at that and just started to assess the reasons for it. And I just wanted to create a program that would allow kids to continue to sample and work on other skills and different components of their game, whether it be one game or multiple sports. In kind of an environment that's focused on fun. And that doesn't mean, it's like you said, a lot of people hear the word fun and they assume that there's no competition or that the development is going to lag. But that's not the case. We want these kids to work hard and develop and be challenged each and every day. But we want to do it in a way that, you know, at the end of the day, they can get back in their car and go, that was an absolute blast and I want to do it again. And that's what it's all about. Because if we can keep kids developing and engaged in sport, then they'll continue to play past the ages of 13, 14, 15. And hopefully that leads to a little bit more of an active lifestyle going forward as they come into adulthood, right?
Yeah, I mean, you were sharing just before we jumped on this, how you and your buddies went and played a pickup game.
Yeah. When
BC announced that you could go play outdoors again.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was pretty competitive.
Oh, we were right? It was all built up. We were ready to go.
And like whenever I played anything that was not organized, it was probably more competitive than the organized sports we ever played because it was all about the bragging rights.
Oh yeah.
Right? Whether it was rugby or football or baseball or hockey, whatever the case may be, pick up. It's like, okay, giddy up, let's go. Right. Yeah, and that's the fun component that's missing. But the other part of the fun or the lack of fun is, and you'd probably be able to relate to this, is too much structure and too much of a demand on time, both on the player and on the family. Agree?
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I think it's something that, it always goes back to kind of my experiences. And I always like to relate to those. But it's, when you're asking a lot of families here, especially where I live, you know, they have multiple kids. You're asking multiple kids to commit to 4, 5, 6 days a week in different spots at different places. It can put a lot of strain on families and the kids because, you know, when you're playing sports 6-7 days a week and that's all you're doing, there's a fine line between a perfect amount and too much. And when you start to sacrifice other elements in your life, and those start to, you're not getting enough social interaction with perhaps your friends, or you're not getting time to just relax and rest and do that, you pay for it at a later age. And that's what I'm seeing, is I'm getting so many 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 year old kids coming in, and they're just stressed. Everything needs to be the best that they possibly can. They're scared to fail. Their first reaction when anything goes wrong or they do anything is to look at their parents for approval. And it just drives me nuts. The reason that we're doing this is just so that kids can come and stress-free, make mistakes. We encourage you to mess up. Nobody cares. Come and have fun, and continue to work on your game. And to be honest, we're not a high performance program. I actually advertise that I'm not interested in creating elite athletes or getting kids per se to the next level. But what we have realized is that does happen when they're training in the right techniques. So a lot of our kids that have worked with us for a couple of years, you know, I was doing my own thing before Private Coaching Co, and it's just kind of elevated. But you know, a lot of those kids did make it to the next levels, but they did so training in a way that they loved, and avoiding burnout.
Let's talk a little bit about the injuries you were starting to see with the specialization, because 13, 14, one is the big dropout rate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the world rate that everybody says 70%. I don't know if Canada is really at 70. I probably, like, at 13, I would think it'd probably be, and where I saw a big dropout rate in the hockey world is 14, 15. That's what the huge drop off was. But part of it is they're burnt out, they're too much pressure. But part of it is the injuries. Like, I started seeing 12, 13 year old kids start to have hip pointers and groin pulls, and because they're not doing injury prevention. So in the soccer space, what type of injuries were kind of pushing people, the players that you knew, out of it? And at what age groups they start seeing that?
Yeah. So I always joke with parents when I'm coaching kids that are 10 and 11 and 12, and, you know, we're doing 10, 15 minute warmups and doing these activation things. And the parents are looking at me, well, they're 10 and 11. And I go, yeah, well, they don't have muscles yet, but in 2 years when they do have muscles and they don't know how to warm up properly, they're going to be super, super thankful that we've gone over this stuff and they have that ability to take care of themselves. When I was young, there was very little guidance in that area for me. I was a kid that would go to the field and start playing with my buddies, and we'd do a warm-up that we thought would warm us up, and all of a sudden, I don't know why my hamstring hurts, and all of a sudden I'm in physio. You know, when we're dealing with kids in, you know, between 13 and 15, they're going through growth spurts, which means that, you know, their bones are growing faster than their muscles, and so things are tight and things are at risk of injury. And, you know, they're also, with that comes weakness. A lot of kids, when they're growing and they're only playing one sport, if they're only working one muscle group, you can start to be dependent on those major muscle groups and all the little things like your hip flexors. You know, that was a huge one for me. My hip flexors and my glutes were so weak that all of a sudden it was like, it's all connected. My hamstrings, everything would start to go. And it got to the point where I was no longer going to practice going like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to play. It was, I hope I don't get injured today, which sucks. And so, you know, that's another reason why we're doing this, is just to teach kids the healthy habits. I wish I knew how to properly warm up at a younger age. You start to learn it as you get into the elite environment, but sometimes that can be a little bit too late.
We've used the word elite a lot, and I just got to give an analogy. You may not be familiar with this guy named Wayne Goldsmith. And he's on the other side of the pond in Australia. He does amazing work, kind of in our same space. And I remember watching a presentation that he did for parents. And he says, there is no such thing as the word elite for a 6, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. It's not part of my vocabulary. Please remove it from yours. I always give him credit for that, because it's his quote. I thought it was brilliant. I think elite is the most overused word early on. And like, you were at, okay, the Whitecaps, you could consider that elite.
Yeah.
But a 6, 7, 8, 9 year old kid, I'm sorry, that word elite, and like the hockey program saying elite AAA, or soccer saying, you know, elite, I'm like, that's such a misused word. And I think the only reason that word is being used to the extent it's being is to attract the parents to pay the big bucks for the kids in the programs. So agree or disagree?
Yeah, 100% agree. I think at 6, 7, and 8, they don't even, you know, a lot of these kids don't even have any interest in doing any elite programs. They're still at that age group where they want to learn and play and have as much fun as possible. And I think, yeah, I completely agree. Elite has become one of those things where you have a program that's okay and it attracts, you know, X amount of parents. You throw elite and all of a sudden, you know, it's 2X the amount of parents. It's definitely a selling feature. It's something that I really wanted to avoid with our organization, which is, you know, we advertise that we are not elite and that we don't want to be elite. I think, and again, there's nothing wrong with an elite program for 14, 15, 16 year olds. I don't have a problem with that. I just think we need to give kids the opportunity to experiment and learn about themselves and their bodies at younger ages before, and then it's up to them. If they want to go and play and pursue at a higher level and they are telling us that that's what they want to do, they can do it, you know, but there's far too many kids that are getting pushed in different directions because of external factors.
And the whole privatization model hasn't helped the cause either, right?
Yeah, no, I would for sure.
Now going back to your younger kids that are in your program. So you say you've got 7, 8, 9 year olds. I know having a lot of conversation with a lot of people in the space, and I've seen it firsthand. You know, kids that are specialized in hockey too early, they can't run, they can't bike, they can't swim, they can't do other core skills, and or vice versa. Are you seeing any of that with kids in your program, and how are you trying to rectify that?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, that question has a lot of little touch points on there. I would say that that again is another reason why, and another deciding factor of doing what we're doing, is because when I used to do, you know, I would do one-on-one soccer sessions on the weekend during my high school years, just because I didn't have time to work. I would run those sessions and I was working with kids that were, you know, in kind of the higher levels, and, you know, they were great when they were doing the technical stuff, and then you would get them to do some physical things and you'd realize that, you know, they were not running properly. Their technique was off. They couldn't do a 2-foot jump and land in a safe way. So you start to realize those things. And then I kind of took a step back and said, okay, we need to change that. And I think that's, you know, sport is going to start heading in that direction. It is something that I think organizations are becoming more and more aware of, especially at the grassroots level of, you know, the single, and I would argue that the single greatest thing that we can do to prepare young kids is to allow them to build an athletic base, one that will allow them to participate in any sport as they begin to grow. And the reason being for that too is, you know, I was a soccer guy. I burnt out of soccer at 17, 18. And luckily that passion has come back with SFU. I really enjoy being there, but you know, I was lucky enough that if I had quit soccer, I had the athletic base to go and play another sport that I was interested in. But for a lot of kids, you know, when they focus on just hockey at 8 years old and they burn out of hockey at 15, they may not have the ability to go and play another sport, which means that we've now lost a lifelong athlete.
Yeah. And then I've talked to, I mean, the early specialization kind of evolved. A lot of people think it's Tiger Woods, but it was really the European most. So that's how far back it goes. But it really exploded with Tiger Woods era,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then when David Epstein wrote the book Range, it was a game changer. Did the analogy of Roger Federer. And there was actually somebody we're having dialogue with that actually coaches Roger Federer for one of our mental fitness events. We're like, we really want to get involved versus Tiger. And if you look at what happened from the injury standpoint, like, it's put everything else aside, and even the most recent accident that he had, but he was just rushing to go help, you know, a couple of players learn how to golf.
Yeah.
10 years of his life of injuries after the 10 years that he had a great run.
Yeah.
And a lot of those injuries was because of his golf swing going through, you know, part of his body. So left hamstring, left knee, the lower back. And at one point, he had that last fusion surgery when he won the tour championship. It was surreal, yeah. But he was only doing it so he could walk again, pain-free, you know, and there's so many athletes that get to that level because they just did the overuse. So I'm exciting to see that there's organizations that are cluing into it. and at a young age recognize the importance. So let's just kind of talk where, what type of programming are you offering? Where are you offering it? And it's going to give some insight for people to kind of explore it further.
Yeah. So, I mean, so Private Coaching Co was started, about 6 months ago. And we've since then, you know, we've started to have a pretty big presence here in North Van right now. But obviously my goal and you know, my big goal is to help millions of kids around the world fall in love with sports. So this is not something that I want to stay in North Van. This is something that I'm quickly looking to expand and start running these programs all over the place. You know, what these programs entail and what they are, it's we've taken a different approach than a lot of other organizations. You know, in order for us to have the most fun as possible and create a memorable experience for these young kids, we believe that they need to have somebody that they connect with on a different level as a coach. You know, we talk about dynamics and the certain dynamics that a player and a coach has. I recognized from a really early age that a coach can make or break a kid. They can really pass off some valuable information. They can boost confidence. And on the flip side, it can go the other way. So I want every kid to come into my organization and not just be looking forward to playing that sport, but, you know, I can't wait to work with Coach Owen, or I can't wait to work with Coach Sophie. So all of our coaches are kind of varsity athletes. So people that have been through experiences like me, played at highest levels, and you know, now they want to give back to their community and help inspire the next generation. So we've kind of created an ecosystem that's allowed young kids to learn from young coaches and give them a role model, somebody that they can look up to and want to be like. And so it's very cool like that. All of our sessions are between one and five players. So we have one-on-one, two-on-one, all the way up to five-on-one. And these sessions, you know, we have general fitness sessions, which are more focused on strictly fundamental movement skills and making sure that kids are, you know, mechanics and learning the basics. We also have more sport specific sessions. You know, we have some kids come in for soccer sessions, and in that soccer session, we're still focused on ensuring that they're moving properly and learning the basics, but we're mixing in a soccer ball to keep it fun. So, you know, it's really not a, and I think I've said this to you in the past, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's not a crazy out of this world concept. It's something that is just, it's really simple, really. It's basic, but it's something that if done properly can really have a huge effect on young kids.
And the mentorship model is huge. Like getting younger coaches. And also I know you got a great ecosystem in behind the scenes is helping with the coaches and the whole mindset of the physical literacy, fundamental movement skills. There are not many organizations on the private side that are really going down that pathway to ensure that their coaches are very well trained right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at a lot of grassroots sports organizations, you know, they're relying heavily on mom and dad, which is a space that I really live in, is to help them, you know, ramp up their coaching skills sooner than later. Because nothing worse than, like we were saying earlier, the coach can have that huge positive impact. But I think a lot of kids that are pulling out of sports over competition, coaching can have that negative impact. Mm-hmm. And the words that they say could literally push a kid out of sport for good. And I, like my tagline with Parent Sports is, don't be a kid's last coach, right?
Yeah, there's nothing worse we than, use that one too, yeah.
You know, you don't want a kid to be a last coach, and to make sure that those kids stay active way beyond 13 years old. And it's exciting to see that you're going there. So take your vision. You're going to graduate in about 4 years, hopefully, right? If you can keep on that path.
I think I can do it in two and a bit.
You know, I interviewed Michael Smith, who is the captain of the UBC rugby team that Steele may know. I don't know if they actually overlap. But he said he was tracking to do his pharmacology degree in 3 years. And it's supposedly a crazy hard, like 4 years is supposedly, but he wanted to get to the island for the national team sooner than later.
Right on.
So let's assume 4 years from now you've graduated and your vision is taking to, you want to get to millions of kids. So where's private coaching going to be 5 years from now?
5 years from now, I want to be all across North America, at least. I want hundreds of different organizations working with us. and I want to be in hundreds of locations. I think it's one of those things where we've made an attractive model for young, you know, young entrepreneurs like myself, where, you know, if they want to, you know, if they're interested in something like this, we've made it easy for them to take it and adapt it and put it in that situation and put it in their spot. You know, we're not tied to a brick and mortar location. It's something that's awesome about us. We're mobile. We can run sessions in your house and we can run sessions at the local fields. So from that, from the accessibility standpoint, you know, it's something that I'm really proud of and excited to see what happens. I know that we are right now in the middle of gearing up for kind of our next move, and I'm sure I'll keep you in the loop with what happens there, but I'm very excited for that. And I think we're, you know, going to push as hard as we can to make that goal happen.
Yeah. I'd be nothing better than to see a startup 5 years from now revolutionizing the industry, much like Matt did with Innovative Fitness, you know, completely revamped. Particularly because I think we're coming out of a challenging time the last 15 months. We shared just before we got on this, the BC government has announced we're finally going to get, hopefully, to some sense of normalcy. I'm so looking forward to September 7th, because if that truly is the date and we get the vaccinations, that youth sports could be better. So we've gone through this, and you started it up, crazily enough, right in the midst of COVID. And the demand was huge. The demand is probably still even going to be significant. Give me your insight, what you foresee with the impact of what you're doing, what the better normal could be in youth sports versus what it was before COVID.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about this with multiple different organizations and people. This is, as much as COVID has been an awful situation and has had a, you know, pretty negative impact on a lot of people, I think it can also be used as a really good point where we can kind of start fresh. And a lot of organizations can start to point in the right direction and really make some changes towards or make some strides toward some, you know, big positive changes. I think that, you know, we've seen a lot of teens, especially that are really struggling with, you know, mental health, physical health right now, you know, with the lack of physical activity that's around, the lack of organizations that are participating in sports right now. And obviously with no contact, it's definitely been tough. I think, you know, this organization has the potential to make a big change on, you know, what it looks like at young ages and what child development looks like. I want to be the industry leader in developing young kids and kind of paving the way for other organizations to continue to get better. And, you know, we've talked about this in our meetings is, at the end of the day, if we create this organization and we make 10 other organizations way better, you know, that's, again, we're achieving what we've set out to do. It's not something that, you know, we recognize that there's lots of room for different organization. There's tons of kids out there and everybody ultimately has the intentions of doing great things. And I think we want to work together with other organizations and start to make those strides towards doing so.
Yeah. I think you're on like great footing out of the gate, great support system. And great vision. I mean, it would be unbelievable if I could say, yeah, I talked to Owen 5 years ago and he's got a million kids in the pipeline that are following and doing great things. So I haven't seen any questions or comments pop into the feed, but maybe I'll just leave one last question in terms of, if you were to give advice to the parents, based on you went through the pipeline. You know, at 13, you had to make a decision because the pressure you got from the organizations. Your parents were not the ones that pushed that. It was the organization that said, hey, Owen, if you really want to get to this level, you got to now make the commitment. Parents that have 5, 6, 7-year-old kids right now, and they're getting pressured by the organizations to go down this path. What would you say to them?
You know, I think there's two sides to that. And one is, you know, I would love to say that it's simple. It's really not a simple answer because it's, you know, sports has been, it's, we've headed towards this direction for a number of years. And it's got to this point where now we look at it and go, okay, now things need to change. And, you know, I used to always say that the best thing that a parent can do is simply put their children in the driver's seat and allow them to make their decisions. And I think that that is right in an aspect. I think if a kid shows interest in playing a certain sport, let them play that sport. If you have a dream of your son's going to be a pro hockey player and he goes towards a soccer ball, let him go towards that soccer ball. If he goes towards that soccer ball and instead of using his hands or his feet, he uses his hands, let him do that. Anything that kids are doing that gets them active or anything that moves their body in ways that they're not going to do when sitting on the couch playing Xbox is the best thing for them. And it's what I say to my coaches is, and it sounds funny, they always laugh, but you know, us in our organization and all of the sports organizations, we're competing against PlayStations and Xboxes. We need to make it more fun so that these kids look at it and go, okay, I want to be an athlete and I want to continue to play sports. So, you know, I would say, you know, one aspect is allow the kids to make the decisions. And if they express interest in them, allow them to explore. And, you know, unstructured versus structured, it doesn't really matter, but allow them to play. And the other thing I would say from a more parent standpoint is, you know, you need to make sure that you're educated and, you know, doing everything that you can to put your kids in the best spot that they can. And I think we can all agree that every parent has the intention of doing the greatest thing that they can for their kids and allowing them to flourish. And for example, you know, a parent might be able to look at a program and go, well, that they're asking 6 days a week from my 8-year-old kid. Maybe that's not the right decision now. And you need to think about those other things. So, you know, it's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong way to do things. But I think as long as we're focused on creating positive experiences for kids, then the positivity and everything else will come.
Yeah, I think it's a great nugget. And I'm just going to tag on one last thing before we wrap up. The whole, because you said your coaches are laughing, saying your competition is a Xbox and PlayStation, right? Which it truly is.
It is.
This generation of kids are digital. It's the Generation Z, past the millennials. My generation there was no internet before this, right? There was no, and I mean, I was joking with my son yesterday. Yeah, I remember when Atari came out, like, yes, you know, not wanting to age myself, but that evolution to how lifelike the games, video games are now, just tagging on to the esports segment, the explosion of esports over the last, I think last 3 or 4 years is now a $1 billion industry. Gamers are making, you know, on average $1 million a year because of endorsements.
Yeah.
There was an event, the Dota 2 event that was at Rogers, I think last year or 2 years ago, because it came a blur because COVID was in the middle.
Yeah.
I think the prize money was like $30 million.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's more than a PGA event. Like it's staggering the money they were talking about. And one of the guys I interviewed for one of our summits, he was actually coaching Jerry Jones' esports team in Texas.
Oh, wow.
Said, you would not believe the money. And they're all staying in this one house. The downside is with esports, they're going at it 14 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And people claim it's a sport. I truly don't believe it's a sport because it's hand-eye coordination. I kind of get that. Thought processing, I get that. But it's not physical in a sense like a lot of other sports. But your coaches truly need to understand that. And really, where you've nailed on in the head, and many organizations have, and I know that Matt and a whole bunch of other people, that we've got to identify the avatar and serve the avatar to the best of your ability. That's where many sports groups kind of fall short. They don't recognize a direct competition because you're right, the internet. And they also don't recognize that if you do not make the experience a pleasurable one, they're not coming back the following year. Yeah. And the best measure of the best coaches that I've interacted with across this country is your kids come back year after year after year with big smiles on faces, and they love the game more than they did, you know, the beginning of the season. That's really the key measurement.
No, for sure. And honestly, Glenn, adding on that is it's, you know, the big thing with that whole esports and with video games and, you know, competing against PlayStations is a lot of the kids can get the endorphins and the emotions and that feeling without having to leave their house, without having to even leave their chair. And so it's one of those things where if we are not mindful of that and not aware, we're doing ourselves a disservice. We, at the end of the day, and I say it to my team, I would rather my kids in our organization perhaps learn a little bit less in terms of the technical, but have a memorable experience that allows them and really forces them to continue to want to play and be active. I will take that all day. So at the end of the day, I just want kids to be active again and continue. And hopefully we can start to reverse the rates and the patterns that are currently happening, because they're not looking good and they're heading in the wrong direction. And that's part of our thing, is we want to be an organization that helps reverse those. And so part of that looks like us, you know, helping with school districts and being involved in elementary schools and high school programs and teaching coaches at a young age how to coach and getting them involved. Cause I believe, you know, you talked about parents and parents big involvement in youth sports and volunteering. I think I'm a firm believer that the more coaches, the better. And if we can get kids that are engaging as coaches at younger ages, you know, I started coaching at 16, 17, you know, it'll do wonders for all sports, all games, because it gives kids, you know, somebody that they can relate to.
Yeah, and I totally agree, because more often than not, the coaches that are coming into the pipeline are usually the parents of the 5, 6, 7-year-old kid that is about to play a sport. But the age disparity is a little longer. And then the big upside on the mentorship side, on particularly in the female segment right now, there's a big drive. And then the big push is inclusivity.
Yeah.
And coming back to esports, you can be anybody. It doesn't matter your orientation, your culture, whatever the case may be. As long as you can play, you can play. And that's really what youth sports and community and recreation, all those different programs need to recognize, make it fully inclusive, and also make it affordable. It's just gone crazy. I imagine your parents are, as you continue to go up the pipeline, it was a pretty big dollar, right?
So, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, that's something that we're trying to do too. It's something that obviously as a business, it's a double-edged sword. There's, you know, if I could do what I wanted to do, it would be, kids wouldn't be paying for these sessions and I'd be offering it to millions and millions of kids for free. But obviously that's not something that you just can't do that. At the end of the day, we have to run a business, but it's something that we are really trying to do is make it as inclusive and affordable for kids as possible. So, you know, things like our summer clinics that, you know, that we've just announced and stuff like that is, you know, it's an option that allows kids to, you know, see what we're doing, experience our training style, because it is very different than other organizations, without parents, you know, digging a hole in their pocket. So that's something it's very important to me.
Okay. Well, just to wrap up, we've put down on the ticker tape down below all your contact information. So I'm pretty sure you can see it. Make sure we've got it all right. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website, and just plant the seed. You kind of ended it. Upcoming programs you've got coming up, explain how people can, and are there spots available, when the time are and stuff like that. So if people are watching this, and when you share it out, where are they and what can they do?
I think super exciting opportunity that we've just launched, and I just mentioned, is our summer clinics. It's something that I've been looking forward to doing for a while. So, you know, ages 6 to 18, we're going to have different age groups, you know, an 8-week clinic focused on different things each week and the different fundamental movements. You know, the slots are filling up rather quickly, which I'm happy about, but you know, we want to be able to offer it to as many kids as possible. So, you know, you can find the information at our website, which is down below, www.privatecoachingco.com. And then, you know, I always encourage anybody has questions, or anybody would like to reach out and discuss any of this to reach out to me, because, you know, I'm usually running these accounts. So you send a message and I'll get back to you.
Okay. So how do people reach out to you if they want to connect with you directly? Say somebody in Toronto wants to run programming and you want to grow. So how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, Owen@privatecoachingco.com. You can shoot me an email and I'll be back to you right away.
Perfect.
You know, we're always looking for new ideas and new ways to reach our goals. So
yeah, and as continue to build your network, and you know, you've got a good base already. I'm pretty sure that you're gonna see great things happen, and hopefully you'll be able to get that done as well as everything else you got on your plate. and be able to get a little bit of sleep. So
yeah, I'll sleep when I'm a little bit older, but for now I'm loving this. So I'm excited for the future.
Awesome. So I enjoyed our chat, and we'll get you copies and links and you can keep plugging away, and we'll look forward to following where you're going. And I highly encourage those of you that have watched this or see it later on the Facebook feed, definitely connect and just get some valuable insight of what they're doing differently, because what they're doing is taking it to a level that I think has been needed for a very long time. And we definitely are nailing on the head at such a young age, understanding the avatar, the value proposition, and just bringing the fun back to the kids, because that's really what it's all about. Thanks, Owen. It was a great chat with you.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. I appreciate it.